Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Or afternoon.
Dankeschön.
Should you be listening
afternoon? Thank you. Guten Morgen is good morning.
Okay.
And that's...
And evening, if you're listening in the evening. These are all the times of day.
Yeah, good evening. I'm trying to... I've forgotten every foreign... My brain is... I should say this now, soup.
Yes.
This is a wonderful show where we talk about things we like, things that we're into. My brain is soup. I had a bit of a whirl.
And we love soup here. Podcast Empire.
I had a fly somewhere in the morning, fly home at night situation last night. And I feel like my mind was disrupted in that process. I left a splinter of myself somewhere in the sky. You ever do that?
I don't think I've flown as much as you have, so maybe that's the kind of thing that happens after a certain number of miles.
Possibly. That's entirely possible. But I'm here now with you, and that's the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
And
I have my small wonder.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm ready this time.
Okay, do it. I don't, so like, it'll give me some time to prepare.
You know that universal thing where somebody tells you you haven't seen a movie and then that person in disbelief always says, you haven't seen, and then says the movie again?
Yeah.
So, for example, if I were to say, like, you know, I haven't seen A Walk to Remember, and then you were like,
I don't know that that's one I would really put the...
All right. If I were to say, I haven't seen Lord of the Rings Two Towers. That's how they say it, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't... I think I know that and accept that about... You haven't seen... It's weird that you would single out one of the Lord of the Rings movies when you haven't seen any of them.
Okay, what about, I haven't seen Terminator 2?
You haven't seen Terminator 2?
There you go. That's the thing I like.
You gotta see Terminator!
It communicates so much in just restating the thing the person said.
Okay.
Like, now I know immediately that that is a movie that is important to you and that you are surprised that I haven't seen it because you like it and or think it is so important.
Terminator 2 is an incredibly important... In fact, that's going to be my small wonder this week is Terminator 2. We used to rent a lake house with our friends here in Austin that was just kind of a sprawling but ancient manor.
Yes.
Is the best way to describe it.
That had several rooms dedicated to the storage of VHS tapes.
And it was a treasure trove, and I feel like I was exposed to a lot. I watched Terminator 1 and 2 and Predator for the first time in like one stay, because I was like, it's time to find out what Predator's all about. Whoa! I'm all for what Predator's all about. But yeah, Terminator 2 is a pretty kick-ass flick, man. This time, the Terminator, he's on our side. He was rewired, and he's here to protect John Connor and his mom. And there's a big motorcycle chase and a big fight in a factory that I think just makes molten metal. I'm pretty sure. Not entirely sure what the purpose of the factory was, but I think they just made molten metal. Uh-huh. Kind of like the factory in Rudy, where it's like one of them dies because of the molten metal. It's like, yeah, that maybe don't work in a molten metal factory.
Got all this liquid metal.
Have you
everywhere.
Seen Rudy?
Yes, but only once, and it was maybe like 5 or 6 years ago. I remember you showed it to me.
I did?
Yes, it was one of those like courtship kind of like, I have an important movie for you to see, partner.
I don't think it was 5 or 6 years ago then, because we were married at that
point. Okay, well, all right then, 9 or 10. We've been together a while now.
We've been together for a really long time. That's my other small wonder, is the longevity of our relationship.
Okay.
And the still passionate fire of our romance.
Okay.
Do you want to hear my thing that I have ready for us?
I would like to hear the thing.
Today I'd like to talk about flight attendants, or if you prefer, the cabin crew of a commercial aircraft.
All right, here we go.
I like them.
I know very little about this process. I have known several people that have participated in the industry.
Yes.
But I never got any good details on like what it's like and what training and that kind of stuff.
I mean, from obviously everyone lives a different journey, follows a different path.
That's beautiful, honey.
Thank you. But from everything I've seen and everything that I've read is that, you know, there's a lot of people that find it to be a very rewarding line of work, and there's a lot of people who enjoy that sort of people-facing type experience. But from everything I've read, it is also a tough road to hoe.
Oh, yeah. I think about that every time I'm on a plane.
Yeah.
Like when the crew is coming up and down the aisle and they're doing their various tasks and they're giving their various speeches, I think, like, I wonder what that's like.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I'm just going to kind of jump around my notes here because I feel like this is like the biggest thing to kind of talk about is like there is a cornucopia of mental and physical health sort of concerns that come along with
being
on an airplane for huge stretches of time. Like there's various cancers that are more prevalent among flight attendants that aren't 100% understood, but like, you know, being up in you know, the higher atmosphere where there's like more traces of radiation is a possible.
Oh man.
I mean, that's sort of, I couldn't really find any direct confirmation of that. But then like, you know, on a more direct and observable level, there's like, you know, disruption to sleep cycles and, you know, barometric trauma. And like, I have to rock the Flonase pretty hard for a couple days before and a couple days after I know I'm gonna have a flight, because it really wrecks my nose business.
Yeah,
and being sort of into that just on a daily basis for your job seems like it would really dry you out at the very least.
Yeah,
and then you also have like, you know, they are more susceptible to harassment and abuse. Yeah. There's any number of things, and then on top of all that, they are carrying with them an inordinate amount of emotional labor where, despite all of the things that I have mentioned so far, they have to be pleasant.
That's so
and they
true.
Have to smile through
people
through
like
the pain.
You know, I think the experience of being a passenger, you know, you spend a lot of money on the flight, you do a lot of waiting, often you experience a lot of delays. And so a lot of times when you get on that plane, you are already operating at not your best.
No.
And I mean, I feel like everybody has witnessed those people that really take it out on the flight attendants.
Absolutely.
And it's really disturbing to see.
Yeah. And it's honestly, this is a thing of just like tremendous respect. I have tremendous respect for anybody who can like do this job at all. And I'm not even talking about like the ones who go above and beyond. I think that somebody who is in this sort of hospitality and safety sort of in industry,
yeah,
under such, you know, pressure, literal and figurative pressure, is like is someone who's very fucking tough.
Well, and you're trapped, right? Like a lot of professions, like if you experience something that's really frustrating and taxing, you can walk out.
Yeah, you can't do that when you're in sky.
Yes,
because it's up a pretty big amount.
True.
I feel a lot of respect for them, and you know, I you know, on a day like yesterday, especially on my flight back to Austin, I was so wiped out, and I just had a really pleasant experience, like with the cabin crew on that flight. Like I felt very taken care of and attended to. And
oh man, especially now that we have children.
Yeah. Right?
Like those are when the real heroes come out, when you see those flight attendants that are just very accommodating and understanding, and they try and make it as easy as possible for you. I have a real new appreciation.
And I'm always trying to earn he did so good.
Yeah.
From them on my way out. If I can get that on my way out of the airplane, it puts a little spring in my
step. I do kind of make the eye contact when I'm holding a child to be like, this one? Do you see this one?
Yeah. That part is just delightful. And sometimes they do a little skit during the post-boarding announcements, and it's like, that's great. This is your fourth flight of today. I can't believe you can even generate any level of skit. I am impressed.
Yeah. You see that a lot on Southwest flights. I wonder if that's like mandated. Like they sit them down and they say, here are some jokes.
Maybe it is.
Maybe.
I don't want it to be though.
It's like a forced jungle cruise in the sky.
Yeah. It's just, it is a job that I think takes a Herculean effort in a lot of different ways. And I really appreciate them. So the first flight attendant, like the first person to hold that job, was actually a German man named Heinrich Kubis. who worked on airships like as early as 1912. And he was actually aboard the Hindenburg in 1937 when it went down in Jersey.
Man.
But I didn't know this about the Hindenburg. There were 96 people aboard and 35 fatalities.
I did not so, like, know a that
lot
either.
Of, a lot of people got off the Hindenburg.
Wow.
Which, like, you look at pictures of that and it's like, how?
Yeah, where were they? How did they get in there?
My man Heinrich Kubis, like, helped people get off of the cabin of the thing. He was in charge of the like wait staff and cabin crew, and he managed to like get a bunch of people off, and then himself jumped out of a window as it approached the ground and made it out, as I guess 60 some people did as well. That's pretty badass, I think. Obviously, the expectations that have been placed upon flight attendants have historically been pretty horrific. Like there has been in the mid 20th century, like this like aesthetic ideal of beauty that was placed on the almost entirely female workforce. And I did not realize just how rough that got. I pulled this from an article on from Wikipedia. These airlines started to advertise basically the attractiveness of their cabin crew. National Airlines began a Fly Me campaign using attractive female flight attendants with taglines such as "I'm Lorraine, fly me to Orlando." Yikes.
Oh, no.
Braniff International Airways presented a campaign known as the Airstrip with similarly attractive young female flight attendant changing uniforms mid-flight. In the United States, many airlines had a policy that only unmarried women could be flight attendants, as well as a mandatory retirement age of 32.
No.
Because of the belief that women would be less appealing and attractive after this age.
I mean, that is true.
Stop it. And that was the law of the land for a minute. And then in 1968, the Equal Employment Opportunity Act, I don't remember exactly what the name of the thing was, made it basically against the law to discriminate based on age and marital status.
That's how you have to be skeptical whenever you meet somebody that talks about like, oh, flying isn't what it used to be. You have to wonder, like, what exactly are you referencing?
Yeah,
right.
Right. and so like over the next couple of decades after like the Civil Rights Act of 64, you know, these insane draconian restrictions like slowly got peeled away. And then in like the late 80s and 90s, you start to get more men entering the career. And, you know, it still definitely has its share of problems. But I did not realize how like profoundly sexist and ageist and all of these different ways that it
was. Yeah, I feel like there's been a number of like films and TV shows.
I did not watch that Pan Am show, but I assume that's largely what this was about. But yeah, it is an industry where I just appreciate anybody who like does it, because it seems like a job that I could never in a million billion gajillion years do.
Yeah.
And I have had so many like really good experiences with cabin crew on the many, many, many flights that I have had to take in my adult life. So just wanted to give a shout out. Flight attendants, y'all are getting it done.
Thank you.
I don't know if I think cabin crew is now the preferred term. Obviously steward and stewardess, we don't. Has been out of style since like the 70s, despite the fact that there are still people who definitely use that term today. But anyway, can I steal you away?
Sure.
Here I go. (10) 9876543 2 1. Blast off into wealth and financial security and responsibility. With Rocket Money.
Oh, that's the countdown.
The countdown is for the rocket. Uh-huh. They have to do that because if not, people stand under the rocket of Rocket Money. They get all burnt up dead.
Yeah.
So powerful is the force of this fuel as it's oxidized and ejected. But for you, some people get burnt up by the rocket, but you're going to save a buttload of money on things like subscriptions you don't need anymore that maybe you didn't know you had anymore that Rocket Money can not only identify for you, but also help you get them canceled.
I also get these little notifications that are like, hey, did you know that you spent this much money on this very particular online store? And I'm like, whoa, I am spending too much money in that online store. I would not have noticed it otherwise.
Rachel's candle habit was putting us out of house and home.
Do you know you're spending $750 a month on candles?
Well, not no more, because Rocket Money showed you the error of your ways. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. That is wild. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Got a couple Tumbo Toms here, and I would love to read the first one because it is for Michael, and it's from Sarah, who says, Keister, happy 7th wedding anniversary. I'm sure by this time we are holding our sweet baby boy in our arms, and baby B is being the best big sister. Let's order a big tray of sushi to celebrate our anniversary, our new baby, and the fact that I can actually eat sushi again. P.S. I still want that Korg. Love you, lady. And that is Korg spelled C-O-R-G, which I guess is short for Corgi, not a K-O-R-G, you know, synthesizer situation. But maybe they want both.
Oh, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Maybe they want a puppy dog that they can create, you know, beats and arpeggios and all that fun stuff on. Boy, wouldn't that just be so whimsical?
Yeah,
I'm feeling really whimsical today.
Little headphones on a corgi.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Can I read the next one?
Oh, yes.
It is for Jess. It is from Jared. Happy birthday, beautiful. Unless this isn't being read around your birthday, in which case happy/merry/etc. Insert nearest holiday here. Beautiful. I love you so much, and you're the most wonderful part of every one of my days. And this was for May 1st.
Okay.
So not too bad.
No, so I guess Star Wars Day is the closest holiday there that we hit. So happy Star Wars Day, May 4th be with you. And
and also with you.
And that's no moon. It's love. Oh, hey, if you want to get a Jumbotron on the show, spots for the second half of 2022, they are opening up now. And they close Friday, May 27th. If you want to enter the drawing for a chance to purchase a Jumbotron on Wonderful, just head over to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron drawing. If your name is drawn, you'll have the option to purchase a personal Jumbotron message for $100. Once again, we're only accepting personal messages at this time. No business. And the air date is estimated, not guaranteed, if you haven't figured that out already. For complete details, please visit MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron drawing and email Daniel@MaximumFun.org if you have any further questions.
Thank you so much to everyone who participated in this year's Max Fun Drive. If you're a member who wants to purchase additional patches, our annual shop is now live. The proceeds for this year's sale will be going to Trans Lifeline. Anytime is a good time to donate to Trans Lifeline, but this year it feels particularly important. Trans Lifeline is a nonprofit for the trans community by the trans community. We're grateful that with your support, we'll be able to help Trans Lifeline connect trans folks to the support and resources they need to survive and thrive. The sale will run until Friday, May 20th. Folks at the $10 monthly level and above will have access to all of the patches from the drive. We also have a special network patch starring Nutsy that all members can purchase. For more information on Trans Lifeline, visit translifeline.org. And for more information on the patches, head to MaximumFun.org/patch sale.
Hey, this is Alden Ford.
And Mujan Zafagari.
And we are here with all the other creators of Mission to Zix.
Hello.
Hey. You're not going to say our names, too?
No, it's a short promo. Yeah.
Okay. Sort of speech.
Now, with the end of our fifth and final season just a few weeks away, we want to say thank you to Maximum Fun and to every single one of you who has listened to and supported Mission to Zix.
Thank you. And if you haven't checked it out, well, Mission to Zix is an improvised space opera with blockbuster quality sound design, a score performed by an actual 60-piece orchestra, and hilarious guest comedians on every episode. And as our final episodes air, now is the perfect time to jump on board.
Mm-hmm. That's Mission to Zix, ZYXX on Maximum Fun.
A bit of boom, 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 boom. boom, boom.
Sorry, let me
boom.
Still, hold on. That was my car. I sometimes have to. It doesn't turn over the first time. The spark plugs are pretty old. Hold on, let me try again.
Boom, ba, boom, boom.
There we go.
Boom, ba, boom, boom, boom. Cha,
cha, cha. No, hold on. It's doing the thing again. It's still, the clutch is getting a little.
It's the poetry corner.
I know.
I know.
What do you got?
I really have to make an effort to not do 76 trombones every time. Or because of your influence, the theme song to Frasier.
Yeah, that was almost a mashup, what you just performed for us. Called 76 Frasiers. 76 scrambled eggs.
76 Frasiers. That's fun to think about, huh?
Yeah. Just lock them all in a room together and see who survives.
This is a poet who resides in West Virginia.
Hey.
I'm not saying that because I think you'll know who they are.
I might.
Because they live in Morgantown.
Ugh, barf. I could not care less about that rivalry.
I know. This is James Harms.
Yeah. No, sorry.
See, you know, you got me for a second
there.
I
know I did.
He teaches at WVU. He was a founding director of the MFA program there in creative writing.
Cool.
But he's been teaching there since 1994.
Okay.
And he was the department chair. I'm not sure if he still is. He was as of 2018. He's in my little anthology. So sometimes, you know, when I'm looking for new poets, I'll just pick up an anthology. This one's not particularly new. It's called The New Young American Poets. So you'd be like, oh, this must be new.
Yeah.
But it's from 2001. So not new.
Yeah.
But I found him when I was looking through here and I had never read any of his poems before, but I really like him.
All right.
So I wanted to share one of them that I thought was appropriate. It's called The Joy Addict.
Okay.
And this is from a book that was published in 2009 with the same name. So one might say the title track. and I thought this was kind of a nice fit because obviously here on Wonderful, that's kind of what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, is focus on the good stuff.
Right.
So I wanted to read this. Okay. The Joy Addict. Whales fall slowly to the ocean floor after dying and feed the vertical nation for years. Like Christ, who feeds us still, they say, though I don't know. But imagine it, fish chasing through the bones or nibbling what's left, the whale, when it finally touches bottom, an empty church. Forget all that. It's intended to soften the skin like apricot seeds in mud or boredom. The drift of worlds in a given day can turn a telephone to porcelain, open graves in the sidewalk. So that who knows why thinking about thinking leads to new inventions of grace that never take, never lead to say what to do with grandmother who is determined to live beyond her usefulness, which is fine, but why won't she relax and watch the sea with me? I wish someone would intrude on all this. People grow tired explaining themselves to mirrors, to clerks administering the awful perfume. I ask a Liberace lookalike, why do you dress that way? What way, he says. And he's right. Who taught us to bow our heads while waiting for trains, to touch lumber without regret and sing privately or not at all, to invest the season with forgiveness and coax from it a hopeful omen? Lord knows the hope would heal this little fear. But who taught us to fear? Soon branches crackle in the windy heat like something cooking too quickly, dogwood lathering the empty woods and everyone looking for a commitment of permanence from summer, from someone else. Two deer, the color of corn, disappear into an empty field, and I wait beside the road for them to move. I want to see them again. Fuck. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, the back like quarter of that poem really hooked me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that he is teaching literature and in creative writing, if he still is, because that poem does so many essential things.
Yeah.
You know, it really roots you in these various images, and there's kind of like surprising turns in it. And it is like very grounded in a way that like you can see what's happening, even though you're all over the place.
Right.
And I just love it.
Yeah.
And also knowing the title, man, it is so hard to title a piece of work.
Right.
And I feel like the title really reminds you like, oh, this is what we're talking about.
What was the line about the promise of permanence from summer, from someone?
Everyone looking for a commitment of permanence from summer, from someone else.
That's really good.
Isn't that nice?
That's really, really good. I mean, living in Texas is like, we get that commitment pretty much on an annual basis, but...
So he has written 10 books, 8 of which are full-length poetry collections. The last one I could find was published in 2017 called Rowing with Wings. I found a poem published from him relatively recently called Uncertain Air that was actually in the Missouri Review, which is the literary magazine I used to work at. Mm-hmm. He has been writing a collection between March and May of 2020. So I don't know if he has a book forthcoming, but Uncertain Air is another one to check out. It's kind of about the early days of the pandemic. He's received a National Endowment for the Arts Fellowship, 3 Pushcart Prizes, as well as various fellowships from West Virginia and Pennsylvania Arts Commissions. He is from Los Angeles.
Okay. So he doesn't have that.
Not a hometown boy.
Mountain pebbles in his veins. The mud, the slurry in his soul.
And for those of you that don't know what a pushcart prize is, every year, small presses that publish poetry are kind of scoured to find kind of the best poetry of the year. And it comes out annually, as I mentioned. That's also true for short fiction essays. But yeah, he has published broadly and still writing today. And I really enjoyed everything I read by him. I just picked that poem because it seemed applicable. There's a lot of good work by him.
Yeah, there's a lot of whale fall imagery in there that as
I know,
someone who's been working on
Ether
Sea for a while is really up my alley.
He mentioned, as far as influences, the New York poets. I've talked about Frank O'Hara before, but also John Ashbery. He said that he likes to hear people talk in poems. Just poets that kind of speak to you through their own experience in a very kind of conversational way, which I also really enjoy.
Yeah, of course.
So there you go. There he is.
Thank you. Pleased to meet you, James. Pleased to meet you, James. Your acquaintance is so appreciated. And you, dear listener, are so appreciated, as are Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay, which you can find a link to in the episode description, if you can believe it. Hey, we have a bunch of merch over at macroymerch.com.
Yeah, thank you to everybody that was able to give during the Max Fun Drive.
Oh my gosh, y'all came out in a big way.
We did not have high hopes. I think it continues to be a tough time for everybody, and it is always awkward for us to ask for help, but everybody showed up for us in a big way.
Yeah, thank you all very, very, very much. It means the world. We hope you enjoy the content of us talking about Dharma and Greg, because God knows I enjoyed it. I mean, we're going on tour still. We got some shows coming up. You can check all that out at
the
Macroy.family. We have a virtual Taz coming up, I think, next week. Maybe.
Are you doing that one?
No. But we are playing a game called Dread, which is Jenga based. It's going to be so fucking
fun. That
does
sound fun.
I think it's next Friday. But I don't have that pulled up in front of me because, again, soup inside my skull soup.
Hey, Breezy, you're a real Dharma right now.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway. Thank you all for listening, and thanks for the memories.
Thanks for
the strength that you give me. You're the wind beneath my wings, and you're also the wings, and you're the joints that connect the wings to my shoulder blades, which is where my wings come out of.
Beautiful.
When I eat spicy food.
Well, okay.
Sorry, when I eat spicy food, I turn into an angel.
Oh, I like that reboot.
Yeah, it's sort of like a mix of Turbo Teen and Touched by an Angel.
Does she become an angel?
It's called Touched by a Turbo Teen.
and there's the name of the episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Right at the midnight hour.
You're welcome, Rachel.
Yeah. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.